Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be reading verse 6 through 10, verse 10 through 18. And so I'll pick up because I have a lot to cover, and I want to, at some point in time, stop around 6:10 and open up for questions, at least for 10 minutes or so, just to give people a chance to ask questions if they have concerning what we covered this month. I know there's a lot of different topics, so praise God. We endeavor for you to get it and to get more than what you had. Amen. Amen. So some of this will be review, but some of this will be new to some of you. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the devil, demons, evil spirits, and demonic activity. So I need your spiritual ears and your drawing from out what God wants to say tonight. Amen for us. Amen. This is a very wide topic, and we got to narrow it down to one concise evening. Amen. And so I need your prayers and I need your faith to hook up with mine. Amen. You with me? Yes. All right. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, how many noticed five times in verse 12 he said against? What is the Holy Spirit emphasizing? He's emphasizing that our contest and conflict and combat is not against human beings, but spirit beings, evil spirit beings. Are you listening to me? Okay, verse 13, "Wherefore I take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore," verse 14, "having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto unto all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. And so we will endeavor to kind of convey to you some very simple outlines tonight that we want to give you. And we have it in the form of a PowerPoint. Thank you, Tristan, for controlling that for us tonight. And we want to make it simple. We don't want you to leave here spooked or spooky, but to not to be demon conscious, but to be aware of the warfare that we're involved in, spiritual warfare that we're involved in. And so we always want to teach from a position of victory. And so understanding that we are born-again believers, and part of the things that we need to embrace is that you have spiritual opponents, spiritual foes, spiritual enemies, people who are arrayed against you, and spirit beings, what I'm emphasizing, evil spirits and spirit beings. And they're called the devil, demons, and evil spirits. All right, so if we go back, and we're going to see what does this invisible battle consist of. So if you go to the next slide there, Tristan, I appreciate it. He told us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that we may be able to withstand or stand against the wiles of the devil. Everybody say wiles. And so this is cunning arts, deceits, craft, trickery, and strategies. Deceits, craft, trickery, and strategies. So number one, we must realize that the enemy of our soul is not the embodiment of strength. He is the embodiment of tricks. He is the embodiment of tricks. So he's going to try to get you tricked every day, deceive you, deceit. In other words, mind games he's going to play on you. All right? He said, for we wrestle not. Now, he doesn't even say warfare. He said, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of the world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we see one thing, that this is not a fighting situation. We're not fighting the devil, but you do wrestle against demons. Everybody say, I'm not fighting. You're not supposed to be fighting. Everybody say, I'm not supposed to be fighting the devil, but I do wrestle against him. Wrestle means to vibrate, to sway. W. Vine's Expository Dictionary, New Testament, Old Testament words, says this is a word that means to vibrate, to sway. In other words, the root word, what it comes from, means to throw or to scatter or to cast into. The word, or thrust, the word devil, or where we get the Greek word diabolo, is to make a hole and to travel on a road. What is he trying to do? He goes one way, one road, and his one intention is to make a hole or penetrate. Where? Between your ears. Your mind. The battle's in your mind. So he tries to vibrate or sway you out of your mind. Now remember, if he gets you to think, he can control you. If he can control your thinking, he can control your life. As a man thinketh, so is he. As where the mind goes, man will follow. So he vibrates. He sways you with suggestions, thoughts, ideas. He throws things in there like thoughts. He scatters suggestions in there. He tries to make a hole and penetrate your soul. Not your spirit, but your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And so that you know that's the battleground or the arena. And so we've often said that if and I'm just repeating what Brother Hagin used to always teach us, if the devil can keep you in the soulless realm, the mental realm, the reason realm, he'll whip you 100 times out of 100. So that means it's important to practice verse 10. What does verse 10 tell us? Be strong where? In yourself? In Pastor Ed? In Triumph Word Christian Center? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? Not your dad and mom's might, right? Not your cousin, not your sister, brother might. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So in this one verse, we see spiritual action. Spiritual action must precede soul action. So this is what you do with your spirit, verse 10. Verse 11 is what you do with your soul. I'm trying to move fast now. You got to stay with me now. Everybody alert? Everybody said, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. Now go back to the other slide so you don't get ahead of me. So this is what you must do, friends. You must understand that the wrestling occurs in the soulish realm. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
He's trying to get you convinced and persuaded or swayed to follow his suggestion, to act upon his thoughts, to put into practice his ideas. All right? And he said, we wrestle not against. So we see four ranks or classes of demons. If there had been more, God would have given us more by the Holy Spirit to one of the writers. But we only see four. He says, principalities. Now, there's some differing views on this, but you don't have to really struggle over this. There are four, but some people say principalities are the highest. Well, I'm going off what Dad Hagin taught us. He said the Lord told him that these were the lowest rank. Principalities were the lowest rank. They're the lowest class. We call them low-level devils. Now, you got to think rank or class means there's order and an organization that does not run around scattered. Now, just like we talked about angels last week, we must understand that God is a God of order. He has organization, but so does the enemy in his camp. There's only one devil. There's only one devil. So if you call somebody a devil, you're really kind of mistaken. There's only one devil. He is called the devil in the book of Revelation. That old serpent, the devil. That's him. His name is Satan. It was Lucifer. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. There's many demons. The rest of them are demons. That's why it says, in my name, Mark 16, you will drive out, what? Demons. You don't have to necessarily deal with the devil per se, most of the times. Because in his organization, in his launch against you, because he said, we wrestle not against. Everybody say against. So he's against you. He has his troops arrayed against you. Amen. And so he said principalities, those are lower ones. Powers, that's the second lowest class or rank of devils. I would have time, I would explain that to you, but those are usually specialized ones. There are specialized ones in the power rank, and then there are specialized ones in the rulers of darkness, based on the studies and stuff. But the rulers of darkness is the highest rank we have to deal with. Demons that possess people. So that's why we see the scripture Jesus said in the book of Matthew 18, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound where? He's not talking about heaven where God's abode, because that's the third heaven. He's talking about the second heaven, the spiritual heaven. First heaven is the atmospheric heaven, the sky. Our dominion is restricted to air, land, sea. Everything that creeps on the earth, everything under the earth, in the water, and everything that's in the air. That means the atmosphere, we can speak to wind, we can speak to hurricanes. We got authority in that realm. But our authority is limited to air, land, sea. So in other words, Jesus has told us, you deal with them down there on earth, I'll deal with them up here in the spiritual realm. Because the devils ain't in heaven. Demons aren't in heaven. Amen? They're not running up there. They got kicked out of there. Well, praise God. Well, the devil did. Hallelujah. So the rulers of darkness are the demon that possesses people. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. They rule over other spirits and tell them what to do. So just like we said, angels, like we said 2 weeks ago, when you have an angel assigned to you, at least one, but that one could be in charge of as many as 20,000. But there you have one angel. Now we saw, Pastor and I, it can't be, Brother Hagin talking to his angel. When he would hook into the spirit, he would be talking to his angel. One of them was called Michelini, and he would talk to him, and he's standing right there, nine and a half feet tall. Big guy. Then another one was right over here. He would look in the pole, he'd be looking right at his angel. Well, you got to remember when we talked about tongues. Though we speak with tongues of men and of angels. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so you have an assigned angel. If based on what your responsibility and role in the kingdom and your obedience, God gives you more because you have more to take care of. But one angel could be in charge of 20,000. That means everyone in this room has potential as a born-again believer to have 20,000 angels working for you at once. If God be for us, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Or what can be against you? Amen? And so that angel is in charge of telling other angels what to do. It's order. It's organization. God's not the author of confusion. He's just not running people all over and they just a train wreck and traffic jam in the spirit realm. It's orderly. Amen? So what did these rulers of darkness do? They rule over other spirits and tell them what to do. Anyone who's walking in darkness can be dominated by a ruler, the rulers of darkness. They rule over all unsaved people. Now, listen to this. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ told Brother Hagin. They rule over all other unsaved people or anyone walking in darkness through their volition, including believers who are walking in darkness. So if you decide to go on the dark side, which your spirit, God doesn't dominate your spirit. He will you are a free moral agent. If you study the four gospels and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he never dealt with human spirits. He only dealt with evil spirits. And see, that gets us out of trying to speak or even profess manipulative things. Because you can't control a person's spirit. You don't have authority over a person's spirit. Are you listening to me? You don't have authority over a person's spirit. You're limited that way. They have to choose. Are you listening to me? So even evil spirits will dominate believers if they allow them to by three things. Consent, ignorance, or disobedience. So if a believer wants to be dominated by the devil, they can allow the devil to dominate them by yielding to him. Or being ignorant. Or by being disobedient. Now these wicked spirits in the heavenlies, these are they call it, some translations call it evil spirits in the wicked spirits in the heavenly places. They're in the heavenlies, they're in the spiritual heaven, that unseen realm. This is the highest rank. Well, we don't have to deal with them. He said, if you're dealing with them down there, I'll deal with them up there. Amen. Glory to God. Now, there's three major weapons. Two major weapons that he uses against us. Deception, like we said, he's not the embodiment of strength. He's the embodiment of tricks. He plays mind games. Now, you got to remember, he is a spirit being. The enemy is a spirit being, but he's spiritually dead. You are born again, and you have authority, right, and privilege to dominate him. But you have to exercise that authority by faith in the name of Jesus. So you got deception and discouragement and depression. They kind of run together. Discouragement and depression, he tries to put on you, or deception. He's never stopped from the beginning. We see the precedent-setting event in the temptation in the Garden of Eden. God, the devil didn't show up with horns and a pitchfork and breathing fire. How did he come up to Eve? The scripture in the New Testament says he beguiled her. He deceived her. How did he deceive her? If you get insight on how he deceived Eve, you got insight how he will try to deceive you. How will he try to deceive you? He will try to come up to you like a friend. And then he'll start talking to you. He wasn't yelling at her. He wasn't roaring. He wasn't showing his ugliness. He got involved in the snake and made the snake crawl up, snake walked up to her and says, "Has God really said that?" He started getting her thinking. "You gonna die?" "No, God knows you're gonna be just like a God, both knowing good and evil." And then when she saw, because she quoted back what we weren't supposed to do. We're supposed to eat. We ain't not supposed to eat that. He's, no. Has God really said that? Did God really mean that, what he said? Now, today it would be like this. Has God really said you got to tithe? Does he really expect you to tithe? He knows what you're going through. He knows all the bills and expenses you got. Don't shout me now. I'm preaching real good right now. I feel the unction right here. All this sowing seed stuff. Come on now. God will get you stuff. You ain't got to take care of you. How does he dominate you? Consent? Ignorance? Or what? Disobedience. And we got to, I mean, in a general sense, I'm not talking about everybody in here or anything like that. In a general sense, the body of Christ has to stop letting the devil dominate us. Amen. Through disobedience. Because we open the door to the devil. Are you listening to me? And so his way for you to get the door open is to deceive you. With what? Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Well, God's got a better way. And he told Eve, look at that fruit. It looks good for food. He hit her with a three-pronged attack. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And then she yielded, took it and ate it and gave it to her husband right there and said, you eat it too. And we all dealing with the mess from the fall. But thank God Jesus came. Amen. Thank God Jesus came and corrected the situation. Praise God. Rectified us. All right. So we deal with these evil forces and evil spirits. So let's turn to our next slide, Tristan, and look at oppression, obsession, and possession. So the 3 degrees or 3 levels of demonic activity come in these different types. This is how he tries to present himself in the earth, through oppression against mankind, obsession, and possession. Now, we see this in Scripture, in some light in Scripture, the Scripture we just read, we see where he says, stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, what I usually like to say is, and it really agrees with my spirit, the way it came to me or revealed to me, is that wiles are like the everyday tricks, everyday bag of tricks that the enemy puts on you. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Don't make confessions. Look at something bad. Participate in something you shouldn't be doing. These are just everyday wiles. Low-level devils just throw like you remember, everybody played the little tack. With the ball, you know, piddlywinks, or what is it called? Jacks. Yeah. Is it called jacks? Yeah. Okay. Okay, where they bounce the ball and you got to take up all those things. Yeah. So he's like throwing that out there at you every day so you can step on them. You know, many of us have situations where we go to the hospital or doctor and we have to go see a doctor. And what does he do? He's got his jacks waiting for you. Gonna get that doctor to say something. Get him what? Thoughts? Ideas? Suggestions? Then there's the evil day. You know, those come when you get the bad report, bad news, bad incident that happens, and everybody's, oh my God. So you got a choice. We can't open our mouth and yield to the devil. We can't open ourselves up and yield to the devil. We can't let the door in. James said it this way: behold, how great a matter the little fire kindleth. Talking about the starter wood being your tongue. That's why Psalms 39 tells us, "I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle." That means restrained on my mouth, while the wicked are before me. Well, that's unseen and seen. If you got demons ready, they say, well, we can't get in there because they ain't said nothing. But you give them permission or consent with your words. When you say something that's evil or bring up an evil report or a negative confession, you just basically gave the devil a starter wood and said, okay, here you go. And they'll start bringing in the wood and lumber and put on top of the flame and start a bonfire in your house. Your words matter. Your words are very important. You got to watch the words that are coming out of your mouth. Are you listening to me? All right. And then fiery darts. Well, that's where it's like the thoughts coming like machine guns. Really bad thoughts. Amplified calls it flaming missiles. of the wicked. Now, oppression, as we say, this chart will be on, this presentation will be on CCB, if not already up there, but it's the imposition of unreasonable burdens, state of being oppressed or overburdened, misery, hardship, calamity, a sense of heaviness or weight. So we see three types of demonic oppression in the scripture: mental, emotional, physical, spirit of infirmity, and of course, rebellion and disobedience. That spirit that works on people. It's a working spirit to bring oppression. Someone once said, and I kind of agree with them, they said, the enemy can't oppress you until he depresses you. In other words, he controls your thoughts. But he tries to oppress you first with the spirit of fear. We know physical oppression comes because Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Amen. Now, let me read something to you. I can't improve on it, so I won't try to. This is right from Brother Hagin notes here. Hang on. Got it right here. Because you say, well, these new terms, some people use them interchangeably. We have to understand to distinguish the difference between oppression, obsession, and possession. So you want to make a note of this. The primary way Satan or demons try to gain access to people is through their mind and body. Everybody say mind and body. So the degree at which a person yields to Satan in these arenas determines how much Satan is able to influence him or her. Since man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body, demons can affect and influence the man in his body and soul, mind, will, and emotion, and yet not be present in his spirit. To really understand how demons affect people, it's also important to understand the difference between oppression, obsession and possession. Oppression, obsession, possession. And we shouldn't use these terms interchangeably because there's three separate degrees of demonic influence. So let's talk about oppression. You can just separate the words, the root words there, opposite pressure. The spirit of fear is the base tool of oppression. Because fear, Scripture says, has torment. 1 John 4. The fear has torment. We know 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a what? Spirit of what? Fear. And in that vernacular, in that phrase, it means cowardice or timidity. What does the pressure come to do? Make you coward. Make you timid. Make you close your mouth and you won't exercise any authority over the devil, even though you got authority, right, and privilege to do so in the name of Jesus. So you take the pain, but it's not for you to take. You take the pressure. What does he put pressure on? On your mind. He puts pressure on your mind. Amen? So evil spirits can exert a certain amount of influence as they seek to oppress mankind. Evil spirits can oppress anyone, even Christians, if they allow it, from within or without their body or soul. We also need to realize that there are different degrees of oppression. In other words, a person can be more oppressed and less oppressed. We probably all experience oppression in our lives at one time or another. For example, this is an example, an oppression can be manifest as a bad mood or bad attitude. You just got to, let me just use this word without trying to be crude or rude. You're in a funk. You're in a spiritual fog. You just, word that Brother Kyle brought to our attention, were curmudgeons. You got the curmudgeons. I know that's not a real good word, but But everybody understand what I mean, right? You're just angry. You're walking around smoldering all day in a bad mood. And that tries to overcome over us. This can be, not, I'm saying it will, so don't go out there saying, Pastor said, be in a bad mood, you got the devil in you. No, don't do it, because I might have to hit you. And then ask for forgiveness later. This can be, everybody says this can be. This can be the direct result of satanic oppression. People also said, you know, that it seems like some black cloud hanging over me, you know, like they feel like they're in a fog. So you can either be in the funk or you can be in a fog, like a spiritual fog. Can't break out of it. I believe the Lord helped many of us Sunday when we're talking about praising. Because what it is, Isaiah 61 says, the garment of praise for the what? Spirit of heaviness. There's no way out of heaviness, spirit of heaviness. That is what? Discouragement and depression. Where you so discouraged, you don't even lift your head up or hands up. If you can't freely praise God, you might have something working against you. If you got to stand there like a statue and the praise of God doesn't move your heart and move your life, the flesh could be involved, one, because you do have to deal with the flesh. You do war your flesh. What happens, why the devil goes after the mind and body, is to get your mind and body to dominate your spirit. That puts your whole system out of order. Your spirit is supposed to dominate your soul and body. It's supposed to be spirit, soul, body. Everybody say that with me. Spirit, soul, body. So that's why we emphasize during this whole summer, I'm trying to wrap this up now, that it's spiritual things. You got to be spirit, spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-controlled. Keep your spirit man on the ascendancy. Allow your spirit man, tank your spirit man up so you can dominate your soul and your body. In other words, don't give the devil any place. Don't give him any ground in your life. Amen? Because the enemy's out there trying to oppress everybody, including me. Amen? He tries. He's going to keep trying. And remember, like I told you Sunday, he's not going to take a day off. And sometimes people are more oppressed at certain times than they are other times. But as we rebuke oppression, everybody says, I have to do that. If you're in a funk mood, or you got a funky attitude, I'm just trying to get your attention. I'm not trying to be mean or crude. Or you're in a fog, you got to speak to that thing. Are you listening to me? Yeah. In the name of Jesus, and stand against it and resist it. Sometimes you can praise your way out of it. Like Brother Copeland said one time, he had heavy depression on him. He's in the ministry. And he was just depressed. And that's when the devil's really playing like a puppet with your mind. He's pulling all the strings just about in a certain area. And you're just constantly going over and reviewing, rehearsing bad news, bad tapes. You're looking at bad videos, and you just have bad thoughts. You're toxic at that point. Are you listening to me? And then the Holy Spirit says, you got to get this off of you. You're a train wreck. You're getting ready to crash. And so he had to, okay, what do I do about this? He said 30 days he was walking around like that. And he said the Holy Spirit told him, just a simple, see, the Holy Spirit always got, thank everybody said, thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's what we learned on a Wednesday night. And so he taught him about an easy battle strategy. Holy Spirit's got many battle strategies for everybody in this room. How do I deal with this? And he said, at the top of your lungs, say, Satan, leave me now. And then shout. And he did. I mean, his head's hanging down. He said his head is hurting. I mean, he said, I was getting migraines, and I was so depressed. You know, I felt like quitting. I felt like even dying and going to heaven. What's all those thoughts come from? If you hadn't got your assignment done, you shouldn't be wanting to check out of here. That's why people quit their job. Can't take the pain, can't take the pressure, can't deal with the problems. No, I don't want to get out of here. I want it easy. No. We're in the war, but we got the Lord. We got his angels. We got the name. We got the blood. Come on now. Hallelujah. We're the victors, not the victims. And so he did. He shouted, "Satan, leave me now." Didn't feel anything at the moment. But then he shouted. He said that whole heaviness just lifted right off of him. But you and I have to rebuke the oppression in the name, whose name? The name of Jesus. We just sung about it. And stand against it and resist it. You have to refuse to fear. You have to resist fear. Amen? And the devil will flee from us, that the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. So we don't need to live under the oppression of the enemy. We don't need to be living like victims. We need to be living like victors. Amen? Amen? And sometimes when the oppression leaves, it feels like the weight is lifted off our shoulders. Fear is a form of oppression. Let me just put that plainly. That comes against many Christians and holds us, unfortunately, bondage. And causes us to stumble again and again. I mean, we kicking ourselves because I should have knew better. I knew better. I've been taught better. But that fear in the form of oppression is coming against you. We don't wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, low-level devils, against powers. Second lowest level devil, and against the wicked rulers of darkness of this world. And he's sending, you can see him, you can almost sense or see it in your mind's eye that the ruler of darkness said, go after him again, sending wave after wave after you, wave after wave. That's why you got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You got to put on the whole armor of God. The whole panoply, the whole suit of armor. It's not armor, physical armor. It's Bible knowledge armor. That's why you got to get to church and get under the word. Stay under the word. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Y'all praying with me, right? The more I got to get out. Fear, if you write notes, can take a hold of believers' minds and cause their spirit not to function as they should. See, when your spirit is dysfunctional, you're out of order. That is not to be in dominion over your soul and body. That's how you're supposed to live. He said, walk in the spirit. We covered that in the fruit section. Focus on the fruit. That you what? Shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because your flesh will start working against you. Your body, you become body ruled and body conscious and dominated by your body. I'm tired. I ain't going to church. I'm tired, I'm sleeping in, I ain't reading my Bible. I'm tired, I'm too tired to pray. Amen? But the Holy Spirit wants to put you in boot camp. Say, you got to discipline your body. You don't discipline your body in the natural, you discipline your body in the, and only, you discipline your body as a believer with your spirit. Because that's why we try to do stuff and it doesn't work in the natural. You're doing it only in the natural, because anytime you don't feel like it, your mind's going to opt out. That's worth coming to church tonight, amen? Fear can also take a hold of a believer's body and cause their stomach to tighten up as though some power gripped up, pain to shoot through. This can open the door to despair and despondency. Everybody say, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So that means you have to take authority over it. You have a right. Everybody say, I have a right to stand against fear, rebuke it, resist it, and stand against it. Amen. Amen. When you stand against the enemy with the word, fear has to depart from you. But it is something you have to do. I can't come to your house and every time fear comes on you and say, you can't deal with fear. No, you got to deal with your fear. I get near my fear. The fears that tries to come on me, brother. Everybody say, fear isn't a friend. Fear is an enemy. Yeah. It's not to be accepted. It's not to be nurtured. It's not to be endured. Stand against it and avoid it like you would avoid sickness and disease. Speak God's word to fear and take your authority over it in the name of Jesus, and it must depart. Isn't that good? All right, let me give you some more information here. So the enemy will try to oppress your mind with fear and whatnot, mental torment and all that stuff, and get you anxious and worrying and all that fretting, and you get stuck. And he begins to put you in a bondage situation. But that's why he said, we read it on Sunday. We talked about it Sunday. Go back and listen to the CD or the recording online on the app. God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of fear is the spirit of bondage. Sin has no hold on you, but nor does Satan have a hold on you. Satan shall not lord it over you. Satan shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. You're born again, spirit-filled, child of the living God. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Amen? So everybody say, I've got authority over the devil. Amen. So Satan, not God, is the author of sickness and disease. So Satan can indirectly the cause of sin, sickness, and disease. He's the originator of it. We often said sickness, sin, and Satan are synonymous. They're all one and the same. So you have to resist sickness just like you have to resist fear. You have to resist sin. You have to resist Satan. Because sometimes oppression can come to your body. Sickness is a form of satanic oppression. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Who oppressed him? The devil. That means all his bunch. Amen. Amen. We know in the case of the woman with the spirit of infirmity, bent over for years, and then Jesus shows up and told her, you know, you're a woman of a child of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham. You ought to be loose from this bond and from this infirmity. This condition of being stooped over and can't bend up. And he told her, woman, thou art loosed. And she stood up. The devil had to let her go because Jesus gave the command. But when you give the command in the name of Jesus, he has to let you go. You had to deal with the evil spirit in the power of the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, so we're going to talk about also, can a Christian yield to the devil? We just said it. Through ignorance, consent, or what? Disobedience. Now, then that leads to, Brother Hagin talks about his son-in-law, I'm trying to hurry, who was... They called him schizophrenic, but he actually, when Brother Hagin was praying one time, the Lord gave him a revelation. And he saw in the spirit what we call discerning of spirits, and he had a word of knowledge to saw that there are three evil spirits, one to the right, one to the left, one to the back. And he would yield to the right and go this way and act this way. And then he would yield to the left and act this way with this one. And then yield to the back and act this way. He'd walking down the sidewalk. He saw him. And this is why he would act strange in different cases. And so he said, what do you do? You don't just see these things and then act like, oh, my God. No, you said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do about this? And he told him what to do. And he told those demon spirits that was over his son-in-law's life. He said, operating in the life of Buddy. He said, I command you to cease and desist in your maneuvers and stop in your operations against Buddy. In the name of Jesus. They disappeared. And then the Holy Spirit said, you're going to have a job. 10 days. He wrote it down on a piece of paper, put it in his wallet. Next time he saw his son-in-law, he said, Dad, I got a job. He said, I know it. He couldn't keep a job. He couldn't keep a job because he was oppressed, even as a Christian. He was yielding to the devil because he was ignorant of what the devil was doing to him, causing him, as a Christian believer, to be unstable. Was he yielding his spirit to him? No, he was yielding his mind to him. That's why you try to wonder, why didn't they be stable? Why can't they keep a job? Why can't they stick to anything? I'm just saying, could be. Everybody say could be. Don't walk out there and say, well, you can't get a job because you got the devil in you. Again, I'm going to love tap you. Hallelujah. So there's three things we have to deal with as believers. We have to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we won't be free of these things until we get to heaven or get raptured. One of the two, whatever comes first. Amen. So you can't cast the world out. You can't cast your flesh out. You got to keep your body. Praise God. All right, there's so many good things. Let me give you this. Okay, let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Turn there, hurry. So we're going to talk about some scriptural insights about evil spirits. Jesus gave a little bit of teaching on this in Matthew 12. Verse 43, I'm picking up at verse 43. Everybody with me? If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Matthew 12, 43. Catch up to us if you're not there already. Matthew 12, 43, it says, and when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house, where from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So is he, so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So sometimes as eternal evil personalities, these evil spirits do embody men. They make them what they are. We find that in, you can study Luke chapter 5, the madman of Gadara. And we know that Jesus rebuked that spirit, called him, come out, thou unclean spirit. And so uncleanness is kind of close cousin to fornication and adultery. It's one of the sexual things. And so we find his characteristics, he was crying and cutting himself. He was naked, though. So you don't know. You can. Don't try to put your imagination around what he was doing. But he was naked, unclothed, and he was crying and cutting himself. They didn't start cutting when they just into these days' eras. They started cutting way back in the Bible. We label it cutters. All right, just keep going. And then, and so it's likely this evil spirit was manifest through this man in connection with the sexual appetite of this man. And this fellow's probably a masochist, deriving sexual pleasure from suffering physical pain. I mean, you know, the devil will make you crazy, do all kind of crazy stuff. Now, let's look at these insights here. It gives us more insight. Look at these three verses here. It gives us a lot of good information. All right. You notice that he, in verse 44, he said, then said, I will return into my house from whence they came out. When he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. See, we don't always know the exact origin of evil spirits, and we don't know their eternal, they are, but we do know they are eternal fallen beings or eternal evil personalities. So number one, this is the point I want to give you, that as personalities, demons can talk. We see him talking in Mark. We see it talking here. And the and then the unclean spirit saith, verse 44. See, when a person is fully possessed, the demon can speak through that person. Speak up in that person. Sometimes they change their voice, and you know it's different. Some of you had to deal with it. I've dealt with it before, and it's a situation. I'm not going to dramatize that any. Number two, as personalities, demons can think and they have volition. He says, I will return to my house. So I mean, you know, demons are territorial. We see in the demoniac Gadara, they didn't want to come out of that area. He said, don't leave this country, territory. You have demons over different territories. Brother Higgins, you say he traveled somewhere and one pastor wanted to get him in. He said, can he come out? He said, no, you got stingy devils. You got stingy devils in that community. And he said they got into the church. How many of you know whatever's in the community tries to get in the church? So if there's a poverty spirits and stingy spirits out there in the community, they try to get in. If it's sexual immoral spirits out there in the community, they're going to try to get in the church. That's why we got to be aware when we prayer walk and walk around the community. I mean, if they're putting up XXX movie stores and adult video stores and all that stuff and all drug dealing stuff, who's responsible for exercising authority to get them out? We just let them crowd us out and crowd us in? No. If we don't exercise our authority, we end up giving it away. Are you listening to me? Everybody say, I have authority in the name of Jesus. All right? And so the evil spirit made a decision. I'm going to return to my former dwelling place. So they always try to come back. That's why the people in the area of sickness and disease oppression, P.C. Nelson, a Hebrew and Greek scholar and learned 13 different languages. He was considered a Bible scholar. He said, healing is lost more through a counterattack than by an attack. Because what does the devil say? I'm going to return out. You cast me out, I'm going to try to go back. He don't want to leave. I'm going to go back where I came out. That's why when cancer comes back or some sickness or debilitating disease wants to come back on you, what do we have to do? We have to resist it. We have to stand against it. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And then number three, as personalities, demons can communicate with other evil spirits. Then he goeth and he taketh with himself seven other spirits. Well, he's doing what? He's communicating with them. Come back with me. More wicked than himself. And the evil spirit went back to what he called his house. They're territorial, and they are very possessive. They try to control and dominate. Everybody say evil spirits? Demons and devil, and the devil, they are meanies. They're nice. They come to kill, steal, and what? Destroy. And we see in this small account in Matthew 12 that the devil is a persistent in his attacks. He doesn't let up his maneuvers against us. And you've heard me translate or say that in a way to you that would helpfully you can connect with. The devil doesn't take a day off. He's trying to come back. He's trying to check your house and see if there's an opening there. Is there an opening in their body? Is there an opening in their mind? Is there an opening in their finances? Is there an opening here? And he's always trying to get. That's why you got to keep the blood going. You got to keep the name up. You got to keep your armor on. You got to stay spiritual. Everybody say glory to God. Is this helping somebody? Can y'all give me a little bit more time? This is why it's so important in dealing with demon influence in the lives of Christians to be especially careful to get the word into them. You deal with the devil, get it out. Pastor Cynthia had to deal. Well, I'm just thinking about one time we had to do that with a lady, and she dropped on the floor and was slithering like a snake. I mean, the devil made her body contort like it didn't have any vertebrae or bones in it. And sticking her tongue out and stuff, and folks ran to the back of the church. Now, I was associate pastor, assistant pastor, so pastor's shaking hands. He said, I'm shaking hands. You got to deal with it. So he looked at me and gave me the look and said, I'm shaking hands back here. Thanks, boss. But you deal with it, you got to deal with it. Everybody say, I have authority. Amen. Amen. So we got to get the word in them. And so we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Therefore, we look down on Satan and his host from a place of triumph, not fear or defeat. Amen. And so, I don't want to take too much time in this. Y'all pray with me just a second. Just trying to make sure I cover what I need to cover. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I don't want you to be even in fear in this teaching and understand that you've got the name, you've got the blood, then not one person in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, was a Christian that had an evil spirit or demon in them. So don't be afraid of catching a demon. Now, can a Christian have oppression? Yes. Can a Christian get obsessed? Yes. In your mind and body. If you do it through your consent, ignorance, or disobedience. That doesn't mean you have one. Amen. Don't go around singing, with the Lord, do I have a devil? Because I got pain. No. I don't want you to be devil conscious. Amen. I always have to kind of put that disclaimer out there. Your spirit is born again. Are you listening to me? Your spirit is born again. The devil can possess a person who was a Christian but rejected Jesus and walked away from him and denounced him. You have to denounce and reject Jesus as Lord for you to open yourself up to the devil to come into your spirit. Now, I don't think anybody's done that. You wouldn't be in church. Are you listening to me? But there was one account, and I'm taking a little bit of time, so I hope you stay with me in this story. I'm going to try to close this up in 5 more minutes, so I'm going to be moving fast, Tristan. So this one lady who was a pastor's wife, was very beautiful. They said the record was she was extremely beautiful and very talented musically. And she got caught up in herself because day after day, the devil comes at you. You're beautiful. You're missing out on life. You could be famous. You could have a lot of money every day. And in the beginning, she would brush. He would always talk to her, the devil would. Remember, he doesn't come with what? He comes with suggestions. And so she's brushing her hair, and she just brushed it off. This is full gospel, spirit-filled woman. Day after day, he comes again. You're so beautiful. You're so talented. You're missing out on life. You're missing out on all the fun. You could have fame and fortune and riches. What's he doing? He's just trying to wear her down and get her thinking. And then she finally yielded to it. And she started thinking, well, I am beautiful. I mean, Brother Hagin said in his account, because the Lord brought him up to heaven in 1957 in a vision, and showed him, rolled back the curtain and showed him her. He said he knew her. He said she was so good looking. He said, you know, you'd almost have to take two looks and say, man, she's really beautiful. But he said that she finally started entertaining that thought. I am beautiful. I am talented. Well, we know Scripture says in Proverbs, pride goeth before destruction. haughty spirit before what? A fall. And so, and then and the devil at that point, when she started entertaining all those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions from the devil, he came into her mind area. So he visualized the demon as a black spot. And so he saw the black spot move to her mind, move in here into her mind. And then, because it was right here at first, oppressing her. And then when she got obsessed with this idea of being rich and famous, the devil moved in. See the degree? Oppression first, obsession second. Then, day after day, she started getting obsessed. She ended up leaving her husband, going with one man, not living with him. Then going with another man, living with him. Then another man, another man, another man. End up five men. Sleeping around, performing in dives and little places of ill repute, trying to be what? Rich and famous. And she was living a sleazy lifestyle, drinking and drugs and sex. And they tried to restore her several times. Several ministers went to her, even the head of the organization went to her, because she was harassing not only the church she left, but her husband as well, threatening to come back and mess up the town and mess up the area. I mean, the devil just makes you crazy. And so she got all off. And then she got to a point to where the Lord showed him, Brother Hagin, where she totally denounced him. The head superintendent came and was led by the Holy Ghost. He got a word of knowledge and got leading by the Holy Spirit. Went to knock on her door in a motel. Because the Holy Ghost told her she was there. And he said, he was trying to plead with her, come back to the Lord. Go back to your husband. This and that. Because what? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Amen? We don't judge them, we restore them. If the Holy Spirit's controlling. But you can't do that in the natural. And so he's trying to deal with her. And she cussed at him. And she said, you and Jesus can go to, you know, where? And I'm done with that. Well, that was confirmation. He said, and Jesus turned around to Brother Hagin and said, see, she has rejected me. She has denounced me. And then that black dot moved down into her spirit. Now, she still had a chance to get free. But she chose not to. And unfortunately, she made hell her home. That's if she was born again, spirit-filled, serving in the ministry, mature Christian, and walked completely away from the Lord. Are you listening to me? She denounced Jesus. She denounced the Lord. She denounced the blood. She denounced anything to do with God. How did he start it? With a suggestion. That's Satan's tool. Let me close with this thought. Y'all good? Many believers wonder how Satan is able to gain ground in their lives. The first place Satan starts to work is in the mind, like I tell you. And one of Satan's greatest and most powerful weapons is the weapon of suggestion. After all, this was what the weapon he used against Eve in the garden, and it's still working. Eve followed Satan's suggestions, and she was beguiled or deceived by him. One of Satan's main strategies today is still beguiling people. He tricks and deceives them by his suggestions. But we don't have to fall prey to Satan's suggestions, because the Bible says we are to give the devil no place in us. That means don't give him any place in your thought life. If the devil can get a place in your thought life, he can get a place in you. And this is what Jesus told him, reading direct quote. Jesus then told me that when this woman began to think Satan's thoughts and follow Satan's suggestions, she became obsessed with that kind of thinking. And then she began to like thinking those thoughts. Then the vision, the woman changed and she became transparent. Her body was made of glass, and I could see the black dot over her head as big as a half dollar. And then it moved up, and then so forth and so on. But it wasn't too late. Jesus says it wasn't too late. After all this stuff went on, if she had repented and turned back to me, he asked me, I would have forgiven her. She didn't need anyone to put the devil on the run for her. She could have done it all herself. Everybody say, thank God for grace and mercy. So Jesus doesn't endorse or condone wrongdoing, but thank God he forgives wrongdoing if a believer is sincerely sorry, asks for forgiveness, and repents and turns from his or her sin. She didn't need anyone to cast her out. She just needed to take authority. Amen. So for us as believer, we need to exercise authority that we have over the devil before it will do us any good. It's not just enough to have authority. You have to release that authority through exercising your authority. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
And so this is whosoever freely will. Now, let me finish this out by saying this. What do you have to do to exercise your authority over these things? I'll give it to you real quick. First, you got to be a child of God. Seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, they tried to use the name of Jesus, and it didn't work. It was ineffective. So you can't pull up a cross and think it's going to work. You can't sprinkle holy water and think it's going to work. You can't use the name of Jesus as a non-believer or unbeliever and it works. The name of Jesus belongs to us as children of God. Amen. Everybody said, you got to be a child of God. So even the angels haven't been given a name. We've been given a name. Second, you must not have any unconfessed sin in your heart. 1 John 3:21 says, "Blood, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." So if you do have sin in your heart, the demons will laugh at your prayers. They'll laugh at your rebuking. Amen. To have boldness in the presence of demons, you got to have the sin out of your heart. Third, you must know the power of the name of Jesus and how to use it. Amen. Everybody said we got power in that name. Amen. Praise God. Well, stand to your feet.